Superfan.com Rising Shot Podcast, episode 395. I don't think I updated that on the agenda. It said 394, but it's 395.
Wow, we're coming up on a big number here.
Oh my gosh, you say this every time.
Do I?
No, but you say something about it. Blah, 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 lots of shows.
We're doing something special for show 400?
I haven't looked that far ahead. I don't know. I'm sure we'll do something like, say, it's episode 400. Is that special?
It'd be cool if episode 400 were like a bowl game preview or bowl game review. That'd be fun. It could be. That could line up.
Could be. I'd have to do the math on that. Maybe we'll skip an episode to make it that way.
Oh, or do like a 396 part A and part B or something.
Yeah. No, it'd have to be the opposite. I said skip one. If you do two with the same.
Right. It'd make the problem worse.
Yes, exactly.
I was told there would be no math.
Nope, you were not told that, actually. So, Matt, we did Thanksgiving together, buddy.
We did. It was a great time.
I'm back in Kansas here at home, but we did it at your house and hung out with our parents, our brother Don, who's kind of a celebrity on this show. I actually posted a picture on Twitter that I found. Twitter. I didn't post it on Twitter. On Instagram. And one of our listeners saw it, who... I am friends with on Instagram, and she wanted to know which one was Don and which one was you. Did you see this on Instagram?
No, I need to look this up.
Yeah. So look up my Instagram account.
Here, let's go to your Insta.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
Yeah, you can do that. We don't need you to narrate it. So AJ. Anyway, I said,
nope.
Just stop. 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 No one wants you to narrate this. Oh my gosh, you're
which
annoying.
Which picture did they ask about? The one outside the restaurant?
No. One of us is kids, but you're not in it.
Ah. Oh, yeah.
You're not in it because you weren't born yet.
I was not born yet.
So ask which one was me, which one was Don. Which one's you? Which you're not in it.
Nope.
Back when Don used to be cute. Actually, wasn't.
I was one. I am just one child shy of being in this photo.
You're close. You're months away, man.
Yep.
Mom might have even been pregnant with you. I don't know.
How old is Rachel there, do you think?
She's sitting on her own. I'm going to say she's one. So you're still what?
Yeah. I'm still a consideration.
Still a consideration, because you're what? You're not 2 years younger than her.
Not quite.
Or you're more than 2 years younger than her.
No, it's like not quite 2 years.
Right. No, it isn't. Right. No, she's 2.5 years older than you, Pinhead.
Oh, is that the way it works?
No math? She was born 3 calendar years before you. So I
don't
think...
Are you sure about that?
100%, because she and I are 15 months apart.
Oh, all right, there you go.
16 months apart. Yeah, so she's 2.5 years older than you. So no, you weren't even a consideration.
I'm not even a definite part of the plan at this point when this picture was taken.
Yeah. Anyway, but a couple of activities that people might be interested in that we did, because everyone loves hearing about everybody else's Thanksgiving. We, of course, ate copious amounts of food. We went to Frozen 2, which was a journey into the unknown. Are you going to do the real high note?
No, I'm not.
By the way, they have to have the best pop versions of a Disney song ever on that album. I don't know Panic at the Disco very well, but they're... version of that song's quite good. And then that rock ballad that's somehow in the middle of Frozen 2, the version on the album is Weezer.
Are you serious?
Yes.
I've not listened to this.
Go
that's
listen
amazing.
To it. Look it up. Listen to it. Well, I'll probably play it as the outro music. That's my guess. And then we watched a BYU game together, which was depressing.
It's Weezer? Really?
Weezer.
It is Weezer.
Yeah, it is.
It is Weezer.
Would you think I was lying? Do you think I was mistaken? Lost in the woods.
That's amazing.
Right is left when you're gone.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's awesome, dude. It's awesome. Plus, that song was awesome. An 80s love ballad just like pops up in the middle of a movie.
It's brilliant. Brilliant. Fantastic.
I've seen people online hating it. You know what I have to say about those people?
Get a job, hippie.
They must like, what do they also hate puppies? Hate America?
Hey, that's funny. I hate it.
Yeah, that's clever and different. Let's make fun of. Let's say it's terrible. Yeah,
I hate it.
People are weird. All right, Matt. Let's stop talking about Thanksgiving, and let's talk about the tweet bag.
Tweet bag.
And by the way, you can find all your BYU sports news at CougarFan.com. I didn't say that before because you interrupted me. Like, it's $3.95. It's so interesting.
In Canada, do they call it the tweet bag?
I think you're getting your accents messed up.
A friend of mine from Canada said bag the other day. Said bag. And I was like, can you
they
say that again,
in
please?
Minnesota,
I need you. I'm going to need you to say that again.
Interesting. I don't know. Do we have Canadian listeners?
We're about to find out.
Yeah, somebody's got to be from Canada. A lot of Canadians around. I was going to make some joke, but you can't make fun of Canada.
Why would I make fun of our friendly neighbors to the north?
Well, our only
the 51st
allies.
State.
Yeah, our only allies. All right, so the first one is from our brother Don, speaking of family. And that was on Twitter. You can tweet at us, at BYU_RiseShout. Don says, which sport's future looks brighter, basketball or football? Today, if you had to bet, which one would be more successful over the next 5 years, who are you picking?
If I have to pick today, who's going to be more successful over the next 5 years?
Yeah, you got to put money on it today.
I'm going with basketball. I'm going with hoops.
Me too, for a couple of reasons. Number one, we'll get to this in a second. I'm very high on what's happening with that basketball team right now. And second of all, and maybe most importantly, it's easier to get good quickly in basketball than it is to overcome systematic issues in football.
Fact.
You can just clear the roster out much faster, and you know your system. You only have to get 8 guys to buy in.
And we're like 100.
Yeah, 100 guys to buy in. What were you gonna say? We're what?
Have you looked at our football schedule over the next couple of years?
Well, I mean, you got to control for that at some level in this bet, right? Like success in football is gonna look, it's gonna be a little. Little, you got to grade a little bit on a curve, right? Because the basketball schedule, once you get into the conference play, is typically a joke. Besides, you know, maybe you can throw San Francisco now. It's not terrible, right? So you're basically going to play 5 to 6 good games over the course of 20, right?
Right, and so, then we will lose to one of those teams that we shouldn't. One of those teams you just called a joke.
Well, stop the presses. Do you think Mark Pope's going to lose to one of those teams?
I guess we'll see. So. I think we will this year.
This year we might. But over the 5 years, I think that will be a thing of the past. I don't think we're going to drop 2 to 3 games against bad WCC teams.
I hope you're right.
All right. So Shane McDougald, that's at McDougald Shane on Twitter, says, what grade do you give the men's basketball team? What grade do you give the coaching staff? Matt, what grade do you give the basketball team?
I'm going to give them, I feel like they're pretty solid B.
Depends on what you mean, right? Like, but I'm with you. A B is, I think, a good ranking. Maybe a B plus.
No, I feel like we're right smack in the middle of the B zone. But I mean, because here's the thing for me, right? Is the loss to San Diego State, I can get over. The University of Houston win, I can get excited about. But then when it's matched up against like that Boise State loss, It really takes the wind out of the
Boise
wind out of the
State's not
sails.
good. They're not terrible, but they're not good. And the San Diego State, if you look at the computers, love San Diego State so far. I mean, the Massey has them in the top 25. So I'm with you. That's a loss that you can stomach.
Well, in the UCLA win, I know UCLA may not be world beaters, but I feel like that was a good win too. Virginia Tech, I think they looked pretty good in that game.
UCLA's so far is probably about the same as Boise in quality. We'll see over time if that plays out. It's a little early sometimes to judge people in college basketball anyway, right?
Right, right. And I think Kansas is a pretty good team. So,
Well, how about this? Can I say something? Can I go on a little rant? Can we do a little ranting?
I don't think I can stop you.
No, you can't. What is wrong with people? What is wrong with our BYU Twitter? Everybody like freaking out after that game like, oh, this was our chance to make a statement for the committee. Guys, we were getting blown out by 20-something points by Kansas, period. That early in the season, no Yoli Childs. No. If we put together a fine season, split with Gonzaga, beat St. Mary's once, put together a really good, you could still get a chance to get in the tournament. Getting to within a 10-point loss of Kansas helps you a little. I get it. But I feel like people are just looking for something to complain about. We hung with them for a half, and we got destroyed like we should have. Kansas is really good, right? I mean, they may win the championship this year. They're that good. I don't know if they will, but they certainly could. I don't know. People are.
Yeah, it's a good team. That's a good team.
Yeah,
so it's not one to like be burning couches over, okay?
No, it's like, oh, if we could have been closer, then that would have changed the season. You know what'll change the season? Keep winning. That'll change the season. I give them a B+. I'll tell you what. We said this, I think, 2 weeks ago, maybe three, that it's hard to judge them without Yoli. But I will say this. I love the defensive effort. I think we talked about this last week. I love what some of the players are bringing. And I'm not a hater on, you know, Brian Taylor. Last week we talked about Hawes. I think Hawes is okay, right? He is a good – he'd be a – ideally, with the way he's playing today, he'd be a great sixth or seventh guy off the bench. Right?
Yeah.
And I think in 4 or 5 years, TJ Haas is, if he were here, he'd be the sixth or seventh guy off the bench. But we're not that deep today. Are you... Again, I think we did this question 2 weeks ago. Do you feel better, worse, or the same about BYU's chances to get into the NCAA tournament than you did at the beginning of the season?
Right now, I feel the same.
I feel better. Not a lot better, but a little. A little. So enough of that basketball.
Well, what? No, hold on. Talk to me about this. Why? What makes you feel better?
Everybody, every aspect of the team is better than I thought it would be without Yoli.
That's fair.
We have a quality win against Houston. I did not think we would have a quality win at this point in the season. I just thought we were playing too many teams. Now, to be fair, what's Houston? You know, they may not really actually be that much better than us. We'll see over time, right? They certainly haven't played world beaters so far. But I think... And the defense is quite good so far. And I was hoping that would be the case, but I just didn't know if Pope had the players to pull it off yet. Because we did not, the players were not under the old regime asked to give full out on defense all the time, especially the last few years.
Right.
And that's not something that people can typically just turn on. So I don't know. I feel good about them. But like I said, I don't think they'll make the NCAA tournament this year. I just feel better about it than I did a month and a half ago.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
All right, Jared Nielsen on Twitter, that's at TheVitman1, says, using time travel, Matt, getting your DeLorean, all right?
roads where we're going. We don't need roads.
Take us back to the halcyon days of the Mountain West Conference. As an out of Utah BYU fan, how many football and basketball games are we seeing every year? Hashtag remember how bad it sucked. Hashtag tweetback. Well, the basketball team, we hardly ever saw any outside of BYU, outside of Utah, right? Like
yeah,
almost
yeah, those were impossible to get.
That sucked. And then in football, it was about, I don't know, we missed what? Felt like 3 to 4 games a year we missed completely.
I'll tell you what games we would not have seen this year, okay? We still would have gotten UMass, ironically.
I did see UMass.
Okay, we still would have been able to see UMass. We would not have seen the Idaho State game, the Liberty game.
Yeah, we would have. We would have broadcast those. Oh, Liberty. That was at home. It was the conference games we had trouble with.
Oh, I guess that's true. We could have put that on
yeah.
BYU TV.
Yeah, huh? Yeah. No, it was the conference games that were a pain, right?
And away games with bad TV deals.
Yes. But that's still true. Except for now you can stream stuff. But that has nothing to do with the Mountain West. The basketball schedule, though, was terrible. Could hardly see any. And we see almost every basketball game now. Or can.
Yeah, you can watch about all of them.
So Jared's right. Justin Sweeney jumps in the tweet bag.
Sweeney!
At Justin D. Sweeney. Favorite Thanksgiving food. So we'll start with that. Matt, what's your favorite Thanksgiving food?
You know, I'm going to go with pumpkin pie. I know it's kind of like a holiday food and a little bit cliche, but it's a solid staple.
Anything you're going to pick is going to be cliche, unless you pick something that's not cliche, and then that's a cliche.
Because it's not even a Thanksgiving food.
Right.
You hipster.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You take your turkey.
Take your ill-fitting knit cap.
Yeah,
so you take your ironic mustache and go eat your non-traditional Thanksgiving Day food somewhere else, hippie.
That's right. And go hate on Frozen 2 and the rock ballad.
Tell us what the first Thanksgiving was really like.
Yeah. So I would say cranberry sauce is a favorite of mine. But go there. This year, as I was eating it, I thought, it's good stuffing, man. I know that's not the only time you eat stuffing, but that's true of almost every Thanksgiving food.
I hate stuffing, really.
Right? So, anyway, he continues. Thoughts on the new ESPN deal seems like a good sign. Whole schedules? I don't know what he's saying there.
I don't know what that means. So what kind of schedules are we talking about here,
Justin? Schedules are pretty legit. I don't see how any intelligent person makes a return to G5 argument with a straight face. Hashtag tweetbag. Dave Broderick on Facebook. Of course, you can join the conversation on Facebook at facebook.com/RedShout. He says, do you – oh, no, that's the wrong one. It was somebody else. I think the vet man also asked us about the TV deal as well. So I'll get to Dave's question here in a minute. So Matt, let's talk about the new ESPN deal. It's what, 7 years?
Yeah.
Remembering that correctly? 7 years. It sounds like it's a repeat of our old deal or something similar, though the financial details have not been leaked yet. But assuming it's something similar, a little better than before, and we financially and we get an automatic bowl tie-in of some kind, how do you feel about that?
I think it's money. Independence is working, if that is all the case.
So let me ask you a question. Let's say you had three options, and I'll lay them out here for you. Joined the American Athletic Conference, okay, and you're Tom Homo, and you have to consider everything, not just, you know, you like playing in a conference, which I know you do, okay? You can join the American Athletic Conference or something similar. You will, in that scenario, lose money compared to independence, but you'll get all the benefits of being in a conference. Scenario number two, you remain independent. You've got schedules lined up for like the next 10 years in football, right? and that scenario has a bigger paycheck. Or you can go and join the Big 12. What are you picking?
I'm joining the Big 12.
Okay, let's take that off the table. What are you doing? And I agree, you're joining the Big 12.
That one's a little bit harder because now, if I'm Tom Homo, but I've been told that my job is to maximize access and exposure, and I've bought into that.
So okay, let's.
I don't know. That one's tough because I want to say join the conference, but
I'm gonna say if you're Tom Homo, you gotta stay independent, based on what he's been asked to do. Makes sense.
Right.
And financially, okay. But I get your argument of, you know, there's something about playing at conference. So let's take all that financial stuff off. What are you doing? Just pure football. Forget about the other sports. Forget about the money. Say everything else is equal. You want to join the American Athletic Conference or the West or the Mountain West. And it's okay if you say those are two separate things.
What do you mean? They're two separate things.
No. I mean, you could say I would join the American Athletic Conference instead of Independence, but I would not join the Mountain West Conference instead of Independence.
Oh, right. That's what I would say then. I would join the American Athletic Conference instead of Independence if Boise State and or Utah State come with me. I would not join the Mountain West Conference under any circumstance.
Okay. So let me throw something else at you. Okay, because I've been thinking about all this a lot. What does everyone want for BYU football fans? We want a P5 conference, correct?
Yeah.
That's what everybody wants.
But do we really want that smoke? I mean, really?
I don't know.
I think a lot of people who say they want us to be in a P5 conference don't want the reality that comes along with that.
Oh, here's the thing, Matt. We're living the reality that comes with it. Besides getting the financial benefits, right? We don't have that, though we're better than a G5 conference financially. But we're living that right now. Yes, we don't have access to the college football playoff in theory or a New Year's Six Bowl like you would if you were in a conference. Okay, I get that. But what have we said would be the biggest problem with BYU playing a P5 schedule?
We don't have the horses for it.
Depth, right? And we're playing a P5 schedule. Look at our future schedules. We're playing 3 to 5 Pac-12 teams every year, a couple of teams from other P5 conferences, and then some turkeys, not a Thanksgiving pun, mixed in throughout, right? And then you got Boise State every year as kind of like our out-of-conference rival, if you will. But we're playing a P5 schedule. Our schedule now for the next 7 years will look like a P5 schedule. Will smell like a P5 schedule.
That P5 schedule smell.
Yep. My point is, yes, we're not getting all the benefits of P5, for sure. But we're getting a lot of them. And I saw this on Twitter today where people are like, if Utah wins, say, gets in the college football playoff, BYU is hosed from a recruiting standpoint. And I'm going to say that's false. I'm going to say it's false because we're not, over time, this has become more and more true since they joined the Pac-12, and it will become more and more true, especially if they're successful. We will compete for fewer and fewer recruits over each other. We just will. Right? Before, they were recruiting out of Utah, they're recruiting Polynesians, and they're recruiting a lot of members of the church. They don't have to do any of that anymore if they don't want. They can expand, and especially if Whittingham really puts something special together here over the next 4 or 5 years and they're competing to win the Pac-12 every year. I don't know where I'm going with that piece, but the point is we're already playing a P5 schedule. And how's that working for us?
Well, and let me say this. I don't know that us getting into a P5 conference solves that problem. What solves that problem is winning. Right. And if you just accept, if you just take that at face value, that if Whittingham puts something special together here this year and for a couple years in a row, then that's going to damage BYU's recruiting efforts. Okay, if we just assume that's true for a minute, let's not even argue it. Let's just say, okay, that's a fact. I think what you have to understand is that the solution to that isn't get into a P5 conference. The solution to that is win games.
Correct.
And so if getting into a P5 conference means that you're a 6-7 win team every year, that doesn't help you. And that's probably what getting into a P5 conference means most of the time, guys. So the solution to that is partially what you just described, right? Which is, as time goes on, we will be competing for fewer and fewer recruits because we just will be two different things. We'll be two different options, whether we're in a P5 conference or not. So at that point, you have to be in a position to, put together 9-10 win seasons and be that team. You got to be that team.
But we love the ESPN deal, and it doesn't appear that BYU will be joining a conference anytime soon. Dave Broderick on Facebook says, do we have a large enough sample size to say that Kalani is a 500 coach?
Sure. I mean, we've got a large enough sample size to say that because it's pretty close to true, right?
I don't like the phrase. What we have is a large enough sample size to say that Kalani, while he's been here, his team has been 500. Heck, you have a large enough sample size, quite frankly, to do that at two games, right? That's just a fact of the situation. He is a 500 coach, if you will, in that respect. My question, and I think maybe the deeper one, and maybe this is where Dave is going, is, what does that mean, right? Is this his quote-unquote upside as a coach? Is seasons like this? Is this as good as it can get? And then he's going to have some seasons that aren't good as well. Are you going to fluctuate between 6 and 8 wins? That I don't know if I can tell you yet.
I believe that given what we've seen, I don't think we've seen the best that Kalani Sitake can put together. Do I believe that with the schedules that we're looking at over the next couple of years and what he's been up against for the last couple of years, that Kalani Sitake and company can put together consistently year in, year out, a 10-11 game winner? No, I don't. But do I think they can do that every few years with this type of schedule and level of competition? Yeah, I think that they can. They've not proven that yet. But really, at the end of the day, the problem you have to solve here is he can get in there. He's shown he can get in there and win some of these big games. It's dropping some of these unexpected games and some of the, what we've called inexcusable losses is what you'd have to fix. And that is an easier problem to fix than figuring out how to beat the big boys. Fair. So if you can win games like Wisconsin on the road, right? That was a great win.
Boise State.
You can win Boise State. Like if you can win those, all he has to do is put a season together where he wins a couple of those and takes care of whatever it is that is ailing us in these stupid losses, which, like I said, I think is an easier problem to fix. So I don't believe that we've seen the Kalani upside yet. I think the best is yet to come with Kalani.
So if you could switch wins and losses this year and switch Tennessee and USC out and they're now losses, but you get wins against South Florida and Toledo. Are you making that trade?
I'm not making that trade.
No, nor am I. I've seen people on Twitter making this argument and I think it's so dumb. Like, you feel better about this season if we had just beat terrible teams and never a good one?
Yeah, that makes no sense to me at all. The Toledo loss, because of the way it shook out, and because of the injury, and because if it's juxtaposition with the USF loss, I think it gets viewed in a weird light. The Toledo loss is not as bad as the USF loss. It just isn't. Right? Toledo is not, and I keep using this phrase tonight, Toledo might not be a world beater team, but they are not USF. You know, we can look at you. I'm sure you got some stats in front of you or whatever, and you're going to tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah, sir, I'm going to contradict you in a second.
Toledo's not – that loss isn't as bad as USF, I don't think. Now, I'm not saying it's a good loss, but that USF loss is pretty bad.
So Toledo has been good, and when we got beat by them, but their wheels have kind of come off, and that loss is looking worse and worse over time. I would just say this. To your point about consistency, and Zach Thornton says, and he's at Coronado Zach, how does the program achieve consistency going forward? Hashtag tweetbag. You have to beat those teams. I'm okay with losing to Utah State sometimes when they're good. I certainly don't have a problem with losing to a really good Boise State team. And quite frankly, I don't have a massive problem. We're going to do a whole session on the San Diego State game here in a second. I don't have a problem with that loss either. I don't like it, but you're going to lose football games against other good teams. That's just kind of how it happens, right? And everybody, you know, I'm okay with those losses. I can't handle the South Florida and Toledo losses. They were so badly coached, and that's a problem, right? That's a problem. I don't know how you get the consistency. It seems like it should be easy. And I don't buy the he got his extension and now players didn't play hard. I hate that crap. I didn't see people not playing hard against San Diego State. I didn't. I didn't see people dogging it. I think all that stuff is garbage. And you better have good evidence for it to make an accusation that players aren't actually trying. You know what I mean? Like that's like a character issue. Not a, you know, I don't know. I don't buy that stuff. I just think they were outcoached and outplayed against San Diego State, and that was true against Southern Florida and Toledo as well. And pretty much every game you lose.
Yeah!
All right.
I'm not sure how I was supposed to follow up with that one.
I don't know either. Preston Paris at Paris Preston says, what do you think our football team's record would be if we had a 1,000 to 1,500-yard running back? I understand the whole running by committee, but I think having a Zach Moss / Jamal Williams type running back would facilitate much higher offensive efficiency. Matt?
With Tyson Williams, we beat Toledo and USF. That's all that changes.
I don't know if that's true, but it's probably true.
Okay, with Jamal Williams, we beat Toledo and USF.
Yeah, well, Jamal Williams is better than Tyson Williams. So
okay, so that's why I went back to kind of the example he used in his question, right?
So I think here's the problem. Okay, I think we're getting something confused about the number of yards a running back gets. That is a function of having a really good offense and a really good running back, right? Having a season like that. You know what I mean? If you look at all of our 1,000-yard rushers, it's not because any of them were just amazing all of themselves. Like Luke Staley in 2000 looked very pedestrian, and then he had that amazing season in 2001. Why? Because the scheme, the offense, everything was better, and Luke probably was the exact same running back the year before. Right? So I just think it gets, you know, the reason we don't have a 1,000-yard running back is because we don't have a 1,000-yard running back. Because I think we have Katoa, I think, is good enough to put up those kind of numbers. I'm not saying he's Jamal Williams good. I'm saying he could be as good as Curtis Brown, who was very good. And I think he could be that. I just think the offense isn't good enough to give him that opportunity. You think I'm smoking dope? Ate too much turkey?
I don't see a scenario where Katoa, where you build an offense differently and Katoa produces the way like a Jamal Williams would, which I understand is not what you're saying, but I think if I just go back and look at this question, when you talk about a 1,000-yard rusher and then cite the example of Zach Moss or Jamal Williams, and I've only watched Zach Moss play in a game and a half this year, so I don't have a lot to comment on there. But
Zach Moss is
when you look at a talent. Okay, yeah, I mean I think he's the best running back we've faced all year.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, but if I look at somebody like a Jamal Williams, I think if you put Jamal Williams on this team, I think you see some things in the offensive scheme and the game plan change because of the level of talent that he's putting on the field. And I think that if we have somebody like that with the changes that it would require of the offense, I think you win those two games.
The more talent you have, the better chance.
And with the same other 10 guys on the field.
Yeah, I get it, and I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying having one of the best players you've ever had at a position is likely to mean that you're better, right, as a whole. And in close,
right, of course. Those, like, the teams he was on wouldn't have been as good with someone else.
You take him off, you put somebody with less talent, you just don't get as much. I get it, and I totally agree. I just think the yes, we'd be better if we had that guy on there. I just think the offense could be good enough to have won those games and should have been good enough without having a world-beating running back. Now I'm using your words. I just don't think...
And I agree. I agree with that point.
To beat those two, you don't need Tyson Williams. You don't need Jamal Williams. You don't need Zach Moss. You just need a competent offensive game plan and execution. That's all you need.
And I would even say that might be true about the San Diego State game.
We'll get to that here in a second. I'm going to hold my comments on that because we're not there yet. All right. Steve on Twitter at Cougateer says, with the bowl game being Christmas Eve, do your plans include watching the game or are there other more traditional activities that will hold your attention away from the game? Hashtag tweetbag, hashtag climb on in, hashtag we are watching the game. Matt, will you be watching this game on Christmas Eve?
I will watch some of the game on Christmas Eve.
I will watch.
I'm not
some
sure
of it.
If I'm gonna. I don't it's think tough. I'm gonna get away with a straight up like kickoff to end viewing of the game. I might have to do like a delayed start. I'm not sure what I'm not sure what I'm gonna do here.
I
did a
this.
Terrible time.
I hate this bowl. I hate this bowl. I hate caring about who's in it, right? Because it's that bowl you watch if it's on late enough while you're doing your Santa stuff, right? Like, and you don't worry about turning it on till there's nothing else to watch, right?
Right.
Or you're done with other things you're doing. So I'll assuredly watch some of the game. I hate that it's on Christmas Eve. Jared Nielsen, so that's at the Vitman 1 again. You are the mental coach on our kicking staff. What do you say to Southam and Oldred to fix their heads? They have the physical skills, right? Hashtag tweetbag. Hashtag we have to fix this. Hashtag dreadful red zone performance.
That's a long hashtag.
You know what I say to him? Kick the ball in between the two poles.
Yeah, stop thinking about it.
Just frickin' kick the ball. I mean, Southam missed two inside 30 yards field goals. And he didn't just miss them. I don't know what's wrong. Yes, they both have the physical skills. Southam was like the first kicker I think we've ever had who was highly recruited. That's probably not true, by the way, but we don't get a lot. And Oldroyd has already shown that he can kick field goals consistently, as he did earlier this season. So I don't know how you fix that. All right. Before we go on, Matt, the Empire of the Peaks Kickstarter did not fund. I don't know that for a fact yet because we haven't hit midnight, but it's not going to fund. For those of you that supported it, I'll be reaching out with messages on how you can still get the books and different things, and we can talk about that at another time. So, Matt, our big why for tonight is why. What does the San Diego State loss mean? Okay. So, we've got a couple of questions on this. One is from Hector Lives, that's at Naleto on Twitter. Welcome back to the tweet bag, buddy.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Hector does live. His name isn't even Hector. People seem more willing to forgive Toledo because of Boise State and Utah State. Does San Diego State seem worse because there are no more big games / opponents to look forward to? Hashtag tweetbag, hashtag climb on in. Forgiving Toledo more than San Diego State is stupid. Toledo's terrible. San Diego State's a good team. So why on earth would we forgive Toledo over think that is somehow a better loss than San Diego State?
Yeah, but you know what? If I remove the San Diego State portion out of this, I think I'm falling into the trap he's describing around the Toledo game.
Yeah, I don't forgive Toledo at all. It's stupid. We shouldn't have lost. Poorly coached. I can say this. Okay, now I'm going to go on the rant that I almost went on you before.
Oh,
it's
boy.
At you, buddy.
Oh, no.
It's at you.
Here we go, everybody.
Okay, so how good is San Diego State? How good of a football team is San Diego State?
I don't know, Adam. How good of a football team is San Diego State?
Okay, well, no, you just tell me how, watching that team, compared them to the other teams we've played this year, how do you feel about their talent level, coaching? I mean, we can go down the line. Are they better than Utah State?
All right.
You,
yeah,
okay,
they're probably
how about
better
this?
Than Utah State.
You can say better, worse, or the same.
Okay.
Utah State.
I'm going to say better.
Boise State.
Worse.
Worse. USC.
Worse.
Worse. I agree. Tennessee.
Probably about the same.
I think better than Tennessee, but I'll buy that as well. Who else did we play this year? No need to say Idaho State or UMass because that's obvious. Toledo.
I think they're better than Toledo.
Way better. South Florida, way better, right?
Yep.
Utah.
Oh, definitely better than South Florida. Worse.
A lot worse, right?
Right.
Who else am I missing? I feel like I'm missing somebody. I should have like actually gone down the schedule. The point is, San Diego State is one of the better teams we've played this year. Okay? Or at least in the middle of the pack. Is that fair, based on what we both just said?
Yeah, I would put them in the middle of the pack.
The computers have them, Massey Ratings has them as the 46th best team in the country. So not great, but not terrible. They have us as the 51st. Other advanced statistics stuff will have us somewhere between 45 and 60. Okay? My point about this is this. The San Diego State game is a game that's a 50-50 game. Some days you're going to win it, and some days you're going to lose it. How you lose it, you're always going to hate that on 50-50 games, right? Because you're always going to think, and it's true, you could have done some things to win it. Because it's a 50-50 game. It was always true that you could have done some things to win it, right? Because you're of similar quality.
What was the final line on that game? BYU by 5? Is that where that landed? It opened up at 3.
It opened up at 3. I think you're right. I think it landed at 5. Okay, so what you're saying on a road game is that we're basically, they thought we were a touchdown better than them. I was not comfortable with a 5-point line. I liked the 3-point line on the road. But the point being is that San Diego State is not a bad team. Are they a great team? Obviously not, right? But they do have a very good, probably top 25 defense, which happens to be our kryptonite because our offense isn't very good, right? And you take out the Utah State game and UMass and maybe USC, and we've had some terrible, Boise, terrible offensive performances, right? Our offense has had some really good games this year. But it's also had some just brutally terrible games. This against San Diego State wasn't as bad as some of our other offensive performances. Because of the opponent, right? I mean, if you can't put up yards and points against Toledo, it's not the same as not being able to put up points and yards against San Diego State. Right? I mean, that's fair. Right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it was about that game that drove me so bonkers.
Okay, well, Chase has a question that might help you express your bonkerness. You ready?
Yep.
This is from Chase Blyle via email, and you can email at us at riseandshoutpod@gmail.com. Who should take the brunt of responsibility for the loss to San Diego State? Coaching, play calling, Zach Wilson, kickers? This is a tough one. I think there's a lot of blame to go around, both on players and coaches.
Yeah, I think there is plenty of blame to go around. Like, who gets the bulk of that blame? I
always land on coaches because I think...
Yeah, I think there were some real weird play calling decisions.
We put up enough... To be fair, though, we put enough yards to win that game.
But that's what's so weird about this, right? And you and I talked about this right after the game. If you go to the box score and you look at the... And you just told me... The final score of this game was 13-3, and you just showed me, with taking out the touchdown stat, and you just showed me our stats. Zach Wilson, 31-53 for 316 yards. You know, okay. I don't have any, like, nobody really great in the rushing category, but I got two receivers with six catches. Shumway's, you know, averaging 13, almost 14 yards per. Like, I'm thinking, okay, yeah, we might have been the team that put up 13 points here.
But we had the two turnovers, yeah. And they had none. So
right.
I saw this on Twitter, and I think people sometimes – this is going to sound very insulting, and maybe it is. I don't think people understand how football works sometimes because somebody said, well, they didn't score any points off that turnover. That's not the point, right? Yes, if they score points off the turnover, that's worse. But turning over the ball means you lost an opportunity to score points. And unless you get a turnover again right away, you also lost time and probably total number of plays that your offense will have to score points. Turnovers are bad. You do two of them. Did we have two or did we have three? We just said two, right?
I believe there were just two. Let me.
And not that you can't overcome that, because you certainly can.
No, there were three.
There were three.
Yeah, Zach Wilson threw two interceptions and also lost a fumble.
Yeah, yeah. Three turnovers, you typically are going to lose the game, especially if you don't get any going the other direction. Right. Now, that's not always true. Sometimes you can overcome that, especially against a much inferior opponent. As we just established, San Diego State is not an inferior opponent to BYU. So you're typically going to lose that. And then on top of that, you miss two chip shot field goals. So take away those turnovers, make those field goals, and we win the game. And that's why the stats look the way they do, right? But Matt, is it the defense? Because I saw a lot on Twitter about how bad the defense played and this three-man rush is terrible and Tuiaki should be fired. Now, let's not look at the Tuiaki should be fired thing, because obviously the defense has not been good this year. It's not been great this year either, right?
Did
the defense lose the game? If you had to pick one unit, special teams, offense, or defense, is defense any chance defense gets your vote for the most blame?
No, they don't get, no, there's zero chance of that. I mean, they took a quarterback. Okay. They took a quarterback who for the season has had an average quarterback rating of 153. And they held him to a quarterback rating of 57, and only gave up 97 yards rushing. And if you look at the receiving stats, there was one receiver that was beating us, right? So I think defensively, the defense was not the problem. Now I don't disagree with the fact that we struggle with the pass rush, and we've talked about this a lot. We do not get a traditional pass rush. We don't have anybody who can rush off the edge, so we have to blow things up in the middle and flush quarterbacks out and hope that Tonga can get to him because he's deceptively fast, right?
Or
he just gets there fast enough, right? Or Gunwalaku, you send Gunwalaku in there, right?
Yeah.
And that's been an issue. That's been an issue all year. But I don't think you can sit there and say that a team that we held to 13 points. If you go through the rest of their schedule and you look at the number of points they were putting up against other teams they played, And you say, oh, but we held them to 13 points and defense was the problem? When off of 316 passing yards, we didn't get into the end zone? It just doesn't make any sense to me. I have a really hard time understanding that argument.
Yeah. I have a really hard time understanding by the way, you're wrong on the QB stats. You're looking at two different quarterback ratings. This is his only game ever. The quarterback.
I'm looking at the quarterback, the starting quarterback.
Yeah. You're looking at the other quarterback's ratings.
Okay. So then let me just say that's what the offense does.
Yeah. But all your points besides that are completely valid. We gave up less than 300 yards, not a lot of yards per play, controlled their rushing attack. The defense, this whole thing about the three-man rush, I don't like the style of defense we're playing. It's not aesthetically pleasing to me, and I don't think it's long-term sustainable. Okay, I think Tuiaki has not done a great job this year. That being said, we don't have to aesthetically like a defense if it works. Okay, there are other teams that don't rush the quarterback often, that don't blitz often. And some of them win a lot of football games, right? Now, and I don't mean teams that have all five-star defensive linemen and can generate pass rush with, like, three guys. You know, I just think sometimes people are getting too caught up in the scheme, and I don't like the scheme. If it's effective, I don't really care in the end what the scheme is like. Unfortunately for Tuiaki, the defense have had some terrible games this year and have given up just tons of running plays. They didn't today. I meant today, Saturday, but they did a lot before. So Chase says, I know SDSU had a top-tier defense, but how much of the game was a result of their defense versus our ineptitude on offense? I'm having a hard time knowing how to react. Matt?
See, this is tough, but as we were watching this game, it felt to me like this was more, I don't think it was the things they were doing that were messing us up. I just don't feel that way.
But we do this all the time. We pretend that there's not another team out there and it's all our team. That defensive back made some amazing plays on a couple of pass defenses. And I know we're yelling.
Whatever his name is, number 16, right? Whatever his name was, we should have stopped throwing him.
But the problem is if some of your best wide receivers are out there, you want to give them a chance and you have confidence they can make a play, right? And you throw it up there. So, yes, maybe they shouldn't have thrown it over there. But the other part is they made some terrific plays on defense. And you have to give them credit. I think as fans, sometimes we get caught up in this, well, if our team had done everything right. And, yes, your team, if they do everything right and don't make any mistakes, you win, right? Not typically, probably all the time. The problem is you're playing an opponent who's trying to make you make mistakes.
Yeah, but I think at the same time, Adam, I mean, we put up over 400 yards of offense. And, you know,
two of the three turnovers were forced, though, right? I mean, the strip sack is obviously forced. One of the turnovers was just a stupid decision by him. I don't think it was actually forced. The other one, he was under pressure when he threw the football, right? So, you know, if all three turnovers had been just boneheaded plays by Wilson, then I think the argument can be, well, we just made the plays that beat us. But they made plays to beat us. It's not that we didn't play terrible on offense in the red zone and have massive problems with our kicking game. I'm not disagreeing with you. I just think San Diego State made some good plays. They had a good scheme. You know, they blitzed us a ton, and they had defensive backs who could cover any of our wide receivers one-on-one. And I think that it worked. Now, we still could have won that game, though. Right? I think the plays were there for us to get.
Absolutely could have won that game.
And,
yes.
And that's the part that's frustrating for all of us, right? Is that there's a couple of plays that weren't made, and you add the field goals and a couple of those plays, and we win the football game, right? And that's what I'm saying. That's what makes losing these 50-50 games so hard. It's because there's always going to be a way you could have won. You get blown out by Utah. You sit back and go, well, crap, they're just a better team than us this year, right? and there's nothing we really could have done, right? These games are the worst because you can't, you know you could have won it, right? Because, you know, San Diego State's not better than we are. They're like the same, and we could have won it. And it's frustrating, right? But does this mean we shouldn't have given Kalani a extension? I mean, because
that's the whole, like, after every loss, everyone wants to fire everybody, right?
Fire everybody. Replace Wilson. Well, no. Let's talk about that. If you were the coach, some people were talking about it seemed like Wilson's wasn't throwing real well, wasn't throwing as well as he had earlier in the year. Maybe it's the hand, you know. If you, in the bowl game, assuming everybody's healthy, who do you start?
Assuming everybody's healthy, I start Zach, but I don't think he's healthy.
Well, and if he's not healthy, then that's something they should evaluate. Now, that could change between now and December 24th, right? There's weeks in between.
It looked to me like his hand was still bothering him in that game. He kept looking down at it. He was like squeezing, making a fist with it. I mean, it looked to me like it's still bothering him. And so if he's not healthy, they need to put Romney back in.
So let me ask you another question. Has Baylor Romney played better than Zach Wilson this year?
That's so hard to tell because the teams they've played against have been so different.
Zach Wilson had
different weapons. He had different weapons when he played.
Zach Wilson has played, let's say we've played five quality defenses this year. He's played four of them. Right? Like San Diego State, Utah, Washington, USC. I just think I get why people are saying, because statistically it's pretty easy. Right? Romney has played better statistically in a much smaller sample size, right? Wilson's thrown 280 passes, Romney's thrown 85, right? And Romney's played some good teams. He's played against Boise State, he's played against Utah State. So it's not like he's only played against bad teams, right? But I think it's really, I think it's a very like 1985 kind of analysis to say, Romney's better. I'm with you. If they're healthy, I'm starting Wilson. I am also with you that I'm not 100% sure he's healthy.
They're pretty close. I mean,
no, it's like we said last week. You know, it's like we said last week. We have three quarterbacks that seem to not be as separated from each other as we thought, and that's not a knock on Wilson. That's actually just complimenting Hall and Romney.
Guys, it's just good news because I think we all believe in Zach Wilson, right? We all believe that Zach Wilson is who we thought he was, right? He's a very talented quarterback. I'm glad that Kalani was able to convince him to come to Provo. I think he's great. The fact that we have one or maybe two other guys on the roster that are in the same sentence as him, I mean, that's just good news.
Yeah. Yeah. Were you surprised? Did we ever find out if McChesney was hurt?
I never saw anything on that.
Yeah, because were you surprised we didn't see him at all? That was kind of surprising to me.
Yeah, I'm trying to look and see if there's... I don't see anything on this.
Yeah, I looked up earlier. I mean, Algier and I mean, heck... Hefo had the second most carries with four among non-quarterbacks, right? And obviously Katoa 10 carries for 24 yards. That was not a 22 yards. I mean, that was not a great, not a great rushing game. So Matt, we're going to finish with a game. We're going to be over an hour this week. Sorry, everybody. Role play. This is a game from Kalani, from Chase. You are Kalani Sitake. Now that you've been extended and the final regular season game is over, and let's just say this is post-bowl game, who do you fire, when do you fire them, and who is their replacement? So I guess he's saying, do you fire them before the bowl game? They're not firing anybody before a bowl game. Is there any benefit to doing that at all, to fire
it's only a benefit
before the bowl game?
It's only a benefit for the coordinator.
Yeah, because they can start looking for their job now.
Right.
So Are you firing any of? Are you firing Tuliaki or Grimes if you're Kalani Sitake?
Now in this game, I have to fire somebody?
No, you do not. You can hold. You can fire one. You can fire them all. Are you firing anybody?
I'm firing no one.
Okay, well then,
you're but I'm going to promote somebody. But I'm going to promote somebody.
Okay, you're going to promote somebody. Tell me more.
I'm gonna adjust Aaron Roderick's title.
Co-offensive coordinator.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
Not just passing game coordinator. I think I would go to the co-offensive coordinator. That's where I would go, and I would give him a raise commensurate with that, because I think that you are this year or next year away from somebody coming looking for him, and he is Grimes' successor. And I feel like Grimes has maybe a season left where you either decide that Roderick is the better fit and is going to be better for the program in the long term, or Grimes leaves. Right, and I think you're probably a year away from that.
All right. So
you got to keep him.
Here's what I'm doing. I am firing Grimes.
Wow, just get right to it there.
I'm moving on. It's time to find somebody else. I just don't think he knows what he's doing, and I think you got to find somebody else. I think Roderick is probably the easy choice. I think you go get Jason Beck. And I get it. People are going to be like, oh, another inexperienced offensive coordinator. Who are we getting that's an experienced offensive coordinator? I would love to hear that solution.
Yeah, well, we're not getting anybody. I mean, let's just be real here, right?
I mean, you could go get somebody from a smaller school, potentially.
What about the guy out of what about the guy from Oklahoma?
Yeah, potentially. We talked about him last year, right? But again, you're not getting, unless you go to a smaller school.
Dennis Simmons, right?
Yeah. You're not getting somebody there, but you know, Jason Beck has been, you know, working for an eye for a long time, working with quarterbacks. I am not firing Tuiaki, but I am hoping that they sit down in the off season and come up with a better, scheme for the talent that they have. I think, for example, the fact that Gumwalakau is not being used a little bit more advantageously to wreak havoc. Like, you saw that play when he sacked him, right? I mean, not that you're going to blitz him all the time, but Gumwalakau is the best defensive player you have besides Tonga. And a lot of times he's wasted in pass coverage against mediocre wide receivers when somebody else could do that. You know, I think they should be, I mean, he's not big enough to be a linebacker, so I'm not saying a position change. I just think you have to be more creative in how you use your best players. And I think the coaching staff in general struggles with that. I don't think they know what to do. They want to run their system instead of looking at the players they have and saying, okay, these are the plays and this is the position I can put that guy in to make the team and them the most success. I just don't see any of that. Do you?
Yeah, that's tough.
I mean, like Katoa, he's not his best thing is not going to be running in between the tackles like it is for Finau or Tyson Williams, right? Though he can do that some. Well, you know, when he's going to be the best is when he's mixing it up with being part of the passing game, being, you know, back there, which, by the way, he did great in pass protection this last week. I mean, he kept Wilson from getting his head taken off at least three times on blitzes. I was very impressed with that part of his game, which has not been a strength historically. So hats off to him for, you know, putting in the work to make that better.
Yep.
I don't know. I probably don't fire Tuiaki, but I'm very frustrated with him this year too, because the defense, I thought, with as good as our defensive backfield has played this year, it just feels like our defense should have been better. And how about Wilgar on against the run this week?
Okay, guys. Wilgar is awesome.
I mean, as soon as he read run, he was just beeline through the hole, right? I mean, it was fun to watch. He's fun to watch. He's one of those guys, right? Max effort, go all out kind of guys. I love it.
Oh, yeah, he's awesome.
So let me throw a crazy scenario at you. Robert and I is interested in coming back as the offensive coordinator.
Oh, geez.
I know how much you and Dr. Bob have had a very complicated relationship over the years.
No.
You'd keep Grimes instead of
I think Robert. I would.
Oh, you're I think that's I would. Just silly. That's silly.
That's silly. I honestly I feel like this offensive staff is figuring something out.
I don't. Not after you just said how terrible the San Diego State game was, and you wouldn't give San Diego State defense hardly any credit, but they're figuring things out.
It's just one game. You got to look at the body of work before that.
Idaho State. We had a mediocre offensive day against an FCS team that's not even very good. I don't see a trend. Look at UMass. Here.
Blew up UMass.
Fine, but I don't see a trend here.
Utah State game. I thought the offense looked good in the Utah State game. The offense looked good against Boise State.
Again, that's not a trend. I don't see a trend line here. I see all over the place. Ups and downs. Not a trend. I don't see a trend. They're better than they were under Detmer. But you take last year's offense and this year's offense, it looks about the same to me at the end of the day. I don't feel like we're getting better. And I hope I'm wrong. And whoever we play against the bowl game, I think Grimes may be coaching for his job. I don't know if that's true or not, but I think he might be. They just extended Kalani. So if anybody goes, it's coordinators, right?
Right.
If you want to make a splash in the offseason because, you know, you lost to San Diego State and then you lose in the bowl game and people are annoyed, that's your only splash because you're not replacing the coach.
But you know what? I will say this. If you're going to do it, I think you'd do it before the bowl game.
But we just talked about that. What's the benefit to the program of doing it before the bowl game?
If it is Grimes, you send a very clear signal to Roderick if he's the guy that you're promoting in.
Oh, sure.
Or you have a chance to take a look at him doing it on his own over a period of a few weeks prepping for a game. You also put yourselves in the front of the line for hiring a replacement. Like, you can get right out there and start talking to people at the beginning of the whole carousel time, which may or may not be super advantageous to us because of the candidates we might be looking at. But the pool for a coordinator isn't nearly as restrictive as the pool for a head coach. So I think there is some advantage to getting out in front of that. And this is a far distant. This is way down the list. But in terms of what you're doing for that coordinator that you let go, I mean, it is better for them.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, thanks everybody for downloading and listening this week. We'll be back next week to talk more football. If there's stuff to talk about, probably we'll have a show that's more basketball. That'll be our first one that maybe tilts more basketball. Probably.
Yoli'll be back. We'll have the BYU Utah game to talk about. There's going to be some hoops.
This could be a hoops centered show next week, barring some, a coordinator getting fired or anything to go through. So thanks everybody for downloading and listening. You can, of course, join the conversation on Facebook at facebook.com/riseandshout. Don't get lost in the woods, Matt, unless you got Weezer with you.
Don't get lost in the woods. But if you're going to get lost in the woods, who else would you want with you other than Weezer?
That's right. We will catch you next time.
Go Cougars. Should follow. You had to go, and of course it's always fun. I probably could catch up with